It's time for 30 minutes of nonstop sports conversation. It's Crunch Time with JB and Double T, presented by Buffalo Wings and Rings in Greendale.
Can the Cincinnati Bengals get a win against the hated Pittsburgh Steelers? We're going to break it down briefly here before we get to our guest of the evening. It's another edition of Crunch Time with JB and Double T, live from Buffalo Wings and Rings on Flossie Drive in Greendale. JB absent tonight, the Double T here flying solo. We have the Milan Indians football program that's going to join us here in just a few minutes. I want to run down some happening things in sports over the weekend before we get into some high school football talk, and we want to start in the NFL. The Cincinnati Bengals 0-3 taking on the 0-3 Pittsburgh Steelers tonight in Monday Night Football, and somebody's going to get off the snide tonight. The Bengals really could be 2-1. Narrow losses against Seattle and Buffalo so far this year. If their defense can play halfway decent tonight, I think the offense will put up enough points to keep themselves in the game. Of course, the Steelers playing without Big Ben Roethlisberger for the rest of the season, out with an injury. So this one's up for grabs tonight, and certainly one of these teams is going to get themselves back in the thick of things in the AFC North. How about the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday? They fell to 2-2 on the season with a 31-24 loss to the Oakland Raiders. Thought this was going to be a really winnable game for the Indianapolis Colts, who looked good through the first 3 weeks of the season. Oakland, not the best team in the NFL, but give props to the Raiders going on the road and getting a big win yesterday at Lucas Oil Stadium. And the Colts might look back at this game at the end of the season and say this was one we should have won, and maybe one that potentially keeps them from making the playoffs. I also want to talk a little bit about the Cincinnati Reds. They wrapped up their season yesterday afternoon. They finished the season with winning 2 out of 3 against the Pittsburgh Pirates, a 3-1 win yesterday. The Reds finishing their season 75-87. That is good for fourth in the National League Central. They do have something to build upon, though. They had a big year from third baseman Eugenio Suarez. He set a National League record for home runs for a third baseman with 49 dingers this year. And how about rookie Aristides Aquino? 19 homers and 60 RBIs in 56 games. The Punisher, as they call him, a big-time building block for this team next year to go with the likes of Nick Senzel, Josh Van Meter, a couple of their other younger guys, and a great could be a great pitching staff coming back next year. Luis Castillo, Sonny Gray, and Trevor Bauer heading that one up. So Reds didn't make the playoffs, obviously, but a lot of optimism going into next season. And to kind of round out Cincinnati sports, at least on a professional level, FC Cincinnati drew Orlando City 1-1 yesterday afternoon at Nippert Stadium. It was their last home game of their inaugural MLS season. Actually got scored on in the 90th minute. Should have been a 1-0 win for FC Cincinnati, but nonetheless, they will take a point away from Orlando City, and there's some optimism there as well. They've had a terrible season, but have played better over the last month or so, especially on the defensive side of the ball. So hopefully they can build towards a improvement in year two, which will be their last season at Nippert Stadium. We also want to get to some high school football scores from over the weekend. Our feature game this past Friday was an EIAC rivalry and a Dearborn County rivalry. East Central, we're going into that game undefeated, ranked number 2 in Class 4A, and they pounded the South Dearborn Knights 41-6 in that game. Trevor Becker starred with 2 receiving touchdowns. He also threw a touchdown in that game, and Jake Fike just continues to play well this season, rushing for 110 yards and a touchdown. So East Central improves to 6-0. They'll take on Connersville this Friday. South Dearborn falls to 4-2. They'll be at home against Franklin County on Friday, and we will be there to call that game as our featured game of the week. And how about a proposal before that game? The athletic trainer from South Dearborn proposing to his girlfriend, who was the athletic trainer at East Central. They had one of the South Dearborn Knights fake an injury in pregame to set up that proposal on the field. Pretty cool stuff. You can see the video at EagleCountryOnline.com. Lawrenceburg and Batesville might have been the game of the week. 36-35. The Tigers get the win in the end, improved to 5-1. Adam Bird has been special over the last couple of weeks. He had 184 yards rushing and 3 touchdowns. As the Tigers move to 5-1, they'll be at Rushville this Friday. Switzerland County improved to 5-1 as well with a 42-12 win over South Decatur. And Oldenburg Academy dropped their second game of the season to fall to 3-2. They will play Milan this week, who is our featured guest here on Crunch Time. at Buffalo Wings and Rings on Flossie Drive in Greendale. We do this show every Monday, 6:30 to 7. It is an uninterrupted 30 minutes of sports talk, and we're going to welcome in our guest here as they got a big win, 61-6 over Edinburgh this past Friday, and we have quarterback Parker Lewis here, who had three total touchdowns in that game, and the Indians did a great job running the ball, 265 rushing yards in that game, and the defense, what can you say about them, holding Edinburgh to 6 points and caused a lot of turnovers in that game. So without further ado, we're going to turn it over to our guest here. We have defensive coordinator Kyle Sable here, and Kyle, how you doing? Thanks for joining us, and let us know who you brought with you tonight.
Pretty good. Want to thank you for inviting us here. Next to me, we have junior Chandler Rutherford. He plays offensive line and defensive line for us. We got our quarterback, Parker Lewis. We got our cornerback, Trayton Robbins, and our linebacker and offensive lineman, Dakota Sands.
All right, so let's start with this past Friday's game, and we'll start with you, Coach. 61-6. And you are the defensive coordinator, so let's start on the defensive side of the ball. What did you guys – it seems like you guys did everything well in that game, held Edinburgh to negative rushing yards and forced a lot of turnovers. So what did you see out of your defense that you liked this past Friday?
Right, well, I think the first thing, especially being a defensive coordinator, I would like to add that the 6 point that was given up was by the offense. It was not
okay.
The defense. What I'd like to add is – we have a lot of guys that are going two ways right now. We're trying to build depth, so we got a lot of guys rotating in right now. Getting Alex Winger, who's a freshman. He's been tremendous in practice. He's getting more reps in practice. Tim Jutsey, he's a senior linebacker, is kind of buried right now. He'd be starting on a lot of teams, but unfortunately we have two really good linebackers, in Dakota Sams and Zach Hauser, but we're trying to get him more reps to give Dakota and Zach some breaks because they're two-way players. We're repping in freshman Riley Johnson, who's been a big time freshman for us, as well as Logan Reed. They're both getting some strong safety reps and some reps at running back. We're just trying to build depth and getting ready for this playoff run here at the end of the season.
All right, well, let's bring in a couple of those two-way players. We'll start with Chandler Rutherford, play on defense and offensive line. So, I'm sure you relish the opportunity to play on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, of course. Football is just something I love to play, so playing more is just something that I want to do, and especially being able to play with people that I hang around with every day of my life, you know what I'm saying? These guys are like my brothers. Playing two ways is just fun for me.
And Dakota, you want to add on that because you're another one of those two-way players?
Yeah, I'd have to agree with Chandler. The bond that all of us have on offense and defense, I mean, we're all so close and brothers with each other. So it's good having, other people to rotate in with us and knocking heads.
All right, and let's talk about the offensive side of the ball. You got a team that's averaging 32 points per game here, and you guys can air it out quite a bit here. Parker Lewis, you've been a big reason why, playing the quarterback position, over 1,000 yards already. Talk a little bit about your game and that outstanding wide receiver trio that you have on offense as well.
Well, that outstanding wide receiver trio is just that. It is outstanding. They're some of the best athletes I've ever played football or any sport with, you know, and I think the really good thing is they make it really easy on me because they slow the game down and they're really good at getting open.
And those players that we are talking about, Adam Norman, Carson Asherman, and Peyton Wirt, they've had big seasons here. Now, Trayton, you go against these guys in practice. Can you tell the Eagle Country audience just how good these guys are and how much it makes you better, kind of an iron sharpens iron type deal?
Right. They're all but a lot taller than me, so I got to run faster and jump higher and, I guess stay under them because behind them won't do me any good. So,
and I imagine playing against those guys in practice just makes it all the easier to guard some of the other receivers on the opposing team come Friday nights.
Right. They're faster than me because their legs are longer and I got to run. And all kinds
yeah.
Of
to add into that, we have, another guy that has come out this year. His name is Matt Schmidt. You count Matt Schmidt and Carson Ashman. Those are both 6'4 targets. Then you have Adam Norman, who's a 6-foot target. Peyton Wirt, he's 6'1", and they're all basketball players, so they can all jump. And, Trayton's at five eight and a half. We're going to give him a half, maybe a three quarters. But he, you know, has two interceptions right now, a lot of PBUs. Two, I think, were called, three interceptions. Two of them were out of bounds. So it, actually, he has five. If you ask him, he has five interceptions.
That's getting it done.
Right. But they all of his interceptions have come at big points of the game. There's no question that those guys that he goes against in practice every single day are his toughest challenge throughout the week. And Friday, he really locks those guys down.
All right, so let's take a look at your schedule here. You guys 4-2 on the season. A couple of losses to Lawrenceburg and North Decatur. A lot of times we come on here and boast about the wins, but what did you guys learn specifically from those two games? So those are two very good football teams, but what can you take from those games to your last three games and then into the playoffs?
Oh, well, I would say that, like Dakota said, the bond. During the Lawrenceburg game, we had a few times where we would catch ourselves bickering and at each other, which caused negativity to arise, which caused bad playing. And that's with the North Decatur game, too. We came in, we were all pumped up, just a bad play happened, and it was just something that the defense, we were just like on each other, like, hey, you can't do this, and then we got down, negativity arises, and we just started playing bad. And then from there, we on offense, since we play both ways, it's just like, you know, negativity just sticks with you guys. It's just like, a disease. When somebody brings a disease in a town, it just goes around and around. So I guess that's kind of what happened in them two games that we did lose. But going on from here, we have learned that negativity is not something that we need to do, and it's a bond and a brothership that we need to keep building.
All right. Parker, add on to that and just talk how you guys will get through adversity the rest of the season.
Well, I mean, we've been facing adversity since the first game of the season, you know, being down and having that huge comeback. But, I mean, it's a really good learning experience when you get to go through that early in the season rather than, you know, tripping up on it later in the season or in the playoffs. So, I mean, I feel pretty good about where we're at, and I, you know, a lot of room for improvement when it comes to facing adversity or just simple things like that. Paying attention to detail is really important.
We want to give Trayton and Dakota a chance to answer that question as well. What have you guys learned from those two losses this season that's going to help you build towards that playoff run? Go ahead, Dakota.
What I've learned is that, like what Chandler was saying, is that we can't, like when we lost the two games, we were bickering and arguing with each other. But we've fought through that, and we've been closer these past few weeks at practice than I think when we were first day of summer practice. So,
just all like that.
All right, so moving on to your next game this Friday, you're going to play Oldenburg Academy. They're 3-2, having a pretty good year, and they can give teams some trouble with their running the game. They're going to try to hit you with a lot of misdirection. Try and fool you with who has the ball. So I'll go to Coach first, being the defensive coordinator. How do you stop this Oldenburg attack?
Yeah, Coach Feller was on our staff about 2 years ago. So, you know, we're familiar with Coach Feller. He's a good guy. He's, you know, leading the program, trying to get things turned around, trying to get people out. But as far as stopping them, you know, they're really big up front. They crowd the box with their running backs, and, you know, they're just trying to get 3 yards at a time. And so we got to be stout up front, not give up our gaps. Our linebackers got to fill, and our outside guys got to be patient, wait for any sweep coming their way or counter coming back the other way. So if you look across the board at their carries, both their wing backs and their dive backs have equal amount of carries. So you don't know which way they're going to go. They don't have one guy they typically go to. So, yeah, it's going to be tough in that regard.
Yeah, so Dominic McPhee, he's over 400 yards this year. Abe Pete's over 200, and Caleb Lehman over 200, and they've combined for 12 touchdowns. So I'll turn to Chandler here on the defensive line. You're going to have to be good up there. You're going to have to stay disciplined. What are you looking forward to the challenge of trying to stop this pretty good running attack?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I'm always looking for a challenge, but I'm not real worried because I know I got people in the back that are helping me. Dakota Sands at linebacker, trading at corner, and then you got Carson Asherman at safety, and you got Cole Steele and Aaron Harrison at strong and weak safety. So you already got the the sides covered and you got people behind you that I don't need to worry about. I mean, I just have to do my job and then expect them to do their job, and I'm fine from there.
All right, Dakota, I know you like to hit people there on the defensive side of the ball, yeah. So you're probably looking forward to this game maybe more than any all year because you know you're going to get a lot of runs at you.
Yeah, they do a bunch of guard pulls, so me and Hauser, we should be looking up to rack up a bunch of tackles this weekend, and I have faith that defensive tackles are going to keep contained in their job and have faith in our corners and safeties that they're going to do their job every play. So I'm ready for the challenge this week.
And then for Trayton, I know you want to intercept the ball and take it back the other way, but you might be asked to do a little bit more tackling on the outside. So does this change up your mindset going into Friday's game, or is it just, hey, it's another opponent, we got to go out and play and beat them?
They don't really change my mind any, but I have to read my keys. The tight end, if he goes out for pass, I'll have to cover him. If he runs outside, I got to go outside. He blocks downfield.
All right, and going to the offensive side of the ball, we'll talk to Parker here. Oldenburg Academy, they're one of those teams that's definitely going to have a lot of guys play both ways. So what can you guys do offensively to try to wear them down early and maybe get a knockout blow?
Well, offensively, I don't think we have to really do anything special. And being a quarterback, I like to throw the ball, but I feel like this is going to be a really good week to run the ball on them. You know, we got a lot of good guys up front, Dakota Sampson, Chandler Rutherford, you know, really get a good first drive on it. And I know we have Cole Steele, who's running the ball really hard this year, and Peyton Cavins is coming back. And we got two more freshmen are, you know, ready to rotate in. So we got a lot of guys, you know, keep pounding that rock, you know, forward down the field.
And I want to go back to last week's game. How cool was it for you to see Peyton Work come in and get to sling the ball around and even throw a touchdown?
Well, it's kind of cool. I wish you would have threw that touchdown, you know, my way. But he did a really good job. He really did, you know. So I feel really good about our team. I know we got depth at that quarterback position, you know, if God forbid that happens. But, you know, he's just a really good athlete. And, like, it's really amazing to see him, you know, in space and work like that. And I know he had a really big open holes from Chandler, Dakota, and Zach Hauser and Caden Yorn, and a lot of our guys were just making them holes. So, you know, we don't have to really do anything special. Just keep doing our jobs.
Now, I apologize. We've only been out to call one of your games this year, and we went up to Lucas Oil Stadium to call that game against the Tigers. But I am happy to announce that next Friday we're going to be at Milan when you guys host Providence for that game. Looking forward to it. I'm going to be on the call. So just in general speaking, you got three games left on the schedule, Coach. What do you want to see from your team to build some positive momentum going into the sectional play?
Well, you know, I think these guys kind of alluded to it earlier of, you know, being in those two games against Lawrenceburg and North Cater. Those are big games we really built up for our team. We got a lot of new players this year. Caden Yorn being one, he's came back out. Matt Schmidt's come back out for the first time. Carson Escherman has come back out. We have a lot of new first-year starters on varsity. So I think kind of being in those high-pressure situations, they have learned, you know, that there's a way to go about adversity and there's ways not to go about adversity. I think we've been drilling that into them. We're looking to see that here in the last couple of weeks, but also build depth and get ready for a run in the sectional.
All right. Now, without further ado, we're going to turn it over to a little bit of a lightning round, ask a whole bunch of different questions to kind of get into the minds and the personality of our student athletes and even coach here as well. I do want to remind everybody, this is Crunch Time with JB and Double T, live from Buffalo Wings and Rings on Flossie Drive in Greendale. We do the show every Monday, 6:30 to 7. We'd love for you to come down, watch the show, listen to the show here live, get yourself a nice meal here at Wings and Rings, and you can also get signed up for a gift card to Wings and Rings. We're actually going to give that away. Well, the drawing will be tonight. We'll let the person that wins that one know who it is tomorrow, and then we'll start up a whole new round of giveaways next Monday. So let's start. We'll just go around the table and ask some questions. You can really keep the answers as brief or as long as you want. We're just going to have fun with it. Let's start off, though, with your experience at Lucas Oil Stadium. I know it was a loss for you guys on the schedule, but it still had to be a thrill of a lifetime to not only coach but to get to play in an NFL stadium.
Absolutely. It's great. Like, obviously we didn't pack the stands like the Colts do on Sunday, but you could hear every single person in that building. It was really loud, and they didn't fill up the first section all the way around. Yeah, it was something special.
Chandler, how was your experience there?
Yeah, like you said, it wasn't nothing like the Colts get to feel every Sunday, but it was really something special just to be able to, you know, go in the locker room and feel what it feels like to be on that level, you know what I mean? Like, and then getting to play, like us, we don't have a turf field, so we don't get to play on a turf field every Friday night, but getting to play on the turf field, especially the Colts Stadium, is just something really special for all of us.
Yeah, Parker, I can imagine running out of the tunnel was a thrill as well. So how was it for you?
Well, when you like run out, you expect it to be like loud and booming, but when you run out there, it feels like all the air just like leaves the stadium and it's just empty and hollow and just whoosh. So it's a really cool thing, you know, to run out there and you see, feel that.
Yeah, Trayton, how about you? What was that experience like playing on an NFL field?
It was pretty cool. I got two interceptions on the Colts field, so it kind of made my day.
Yeah, a memory that's going to last forever. How about you, Dakota?
It was pretty awesome just being able to play in that atmosphere and being able to look at the Jumbotron whenever you made a big play or something. Like, see, that was an amazing hit or block that you had, so it was an amazing experience.
Well, selfishly, I was glad that our Southeast Indiana teams went up there because I got to call the game from the booth, which was a great experience for myself as well. So I thank everybody for that. So we'll stay on a little bit of a football theme here for a while. Do you guys have a coach that you can say favorite player or coach? And I'll ask favorite player and why for everybody.
Favorite football player, like ever?
Could be current, doesn't matter, whatever pops in your mind.
My favorite football player growing up was John Elway.
Okay.
I was born in Wyoming, in Cheyenne, and was close to the border. We used to go to Denver, and I had two older brothers, and their favorite player was John Elway. So my favorite player was John Elway, Denver Broncos.
All right, Chandler.
Well, as a defensive tackle, I think that this goes pretty good. Aaron Donald is my favorite player. I just like the way that he moves. He's just, I mean, he's a big dude, but he can move just as fast as anybody, I feel like. His hands are quick, his feet are quick, and that's just like something that I always try to practice, like my hands and my feet and stuff, so that's why I like him.
I was going to mention his hands, so I'm glad you got it. He's something to watch. Parker, how about you?
My favorite player was always Brett Favre, you know, the energy he brought. He was always happy, and it never really felt like football was a job, you know. He loved football, and he was always out there, and you know, the way he sling that ball in there, just something to emulate.
Man after my own heart, love Brett Favre. Trayton?
I have to say A.J. Green. He runs fast and catch balls in the end zone.
Yeah, he's a lot taller than you. I know you mentioned that a little bit earlier, but hopefully he'll be back for the Bengals sooner rather than later. And Dakota, how about you? Favorite football player?
My favorite football player is Ray Lewis. Just loves the energy that he brought to every Sunday game or Monday game, and just the amount of intensity that he'd always bring to the field.
Now, I'm just spitballing off the top of my head. Do you wear 52?
Yes, sir.
That's what I thought. So that makes sense. How about let's take it off the football field. Let's go into the classroom for the student athletes here. Do you have a favorite class? And if you want to shout out a teacher that you really enjoy as well, that'd be nice.
Oh, yeah. I know it might not be like other people's, but I enjoy U.S. history. It's really fun. I like to learn about, like, what happened back in the day with the U.S. It's just something that I think is really interesting.
All right. Very good answer. Parker?
My favorite class is calculus. You know, I really like math. You know, something I was always good at.
All right. I am terrible at math, so if I was still in school, I'd be copying your homework. Don't do that, by the way. Trayton?
I have to say anatomy. I like learning about the body and the history and everything got here.
All right, three very different answers. Dakota?
My favorite class is pre-calculus. We got Miss Listerman from South Dearborn. She's a good teacher. It's a hard class, and like the amount of work you have to put in.
All right, Coach Sable, did you have a favorite class back in the day? I'm putting you on the spot there. Or do you teach out there?
Mine would have to be U.S. history. Just the teacher I had, he's the reason of why I chose, you know, the path that I went is because he brought such energy, and I loved listening to him tell stories. And his name is Mr. Frankel.
Okay.
Kenneth Frankel in Waterford, Michigan. So if he's listening to this podcast, shout out to you.
There you go.
You inspired me, and that's why I went the way that I went.
Fantastic. Is there any extracurricular activities other than football you guys are involved in? It could be another sport, club, whatever it is.
I enjoy weightlifting.
That's good. That's good.
No, but I also do basketball and baseball. Baseball is another sport that I really enjoy. I enjoy basketball, but know, I'm 5'10 and 225, so that's not really my sport. But baseball and football are probably two of my favorite sports, but basketball is up there too.
All right, going around the table, Parker.
I play basketball and golf, and golf is just really is just a break from football. You know, you kind of get out there and kind of get to relax for that little springtime, and then it's back to football.
What's the best score you ever posted on the golf course? It could be 9 or 18 holes.
I shot one over when we were on vacation down in Gulf Shores.
And that infuriates me because I'm terrible at golf. No, that's a very good job. Trayton, anything?
I also play baseball.
Okay. What position you play on the baseball team?
Shortstop.
Good position to play. Means you're super athletic. Playing corner, playing shortstop, yep. Be something else, ain't it, Dakota?
Yes,
what
sir.
Else you got going on?
I play baseball, and I'm in 4-H, so I show goats and llamas in the Ripley County 4-H Fair.
Sweet. I was out at the Ripley County Fair broadcasting live earlier this summer, so pretty cool stuff there. Okay, so back to the football field. After, and Coach, if you got somewhere you go or something you like to eat after a win, what's kind of a must-have thing to celebrate a win?
After a win, you know, all the coaches get together and we kind of get to unwind a little bit, watch the game together, kind of talk about guys who have been standing out, guys that have been, you know, getting better, deserve more reps, you know, future game plans, and go from there. But, yeah, after wins, we like to get together, hang out, unwind a little bit, and get back at it the next morning.
All right, for the players, is there like a food that you want to eat? Do you want to just go home and relax? What do you do after a win?
Well, usually it's usually us, all of us guys go out and we go to Steak and Shake or Skyline or something and just eat and hang out.
So you're coming down this way to celebrate,
yeah,
right?
Or Batesville. We usually go to Batesville or Lawrenceburg to eat.
Anything you guys want to add on to that?
Yeah, we usually go out and eat or go back to someone's house after we go out and eat and watch some film and watch things that we can fix and improve on next week.
I love that. You guys are already jumping back into the game planning for the following week. That's pretty cool there. So we were talking to some of the waitresses before we started. They're all kind of dressed up here at Spirit Week at Wings and Rings, and they're going to be doing Talladega Nights on Tuesday. So that begs the question, do we have any favorite movies that you can list off the top of your head? Coach, you want to start out or let the players go?
I'm going to pass.
Okay.
I'm going to be the last one to go.
All right. Chandler looked like he was ready for this one.
Actually, I'm going to pass, too.
I'm ready.
Well, we're running out of time, boys. We got to get some answers here.
Right, my favorite movie was Forrest Gump, just from how historically involved it was.
That is a great movie. I love Forrest Gump. Trayton?
I have to say my favorite movie, Step Brothers.
Step Brothers is a good one. Did you feed that to him? No, all right.
My favorite movie is probably The Blind Side, just going back and looking at Michael Orr's struggles and where he's built up to be the guy he is today.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I've got mine now, Chandler, so you're going to wait a little bit. I'm going to go with The Dark Knight, because I like Batman.
All right, that's a good movie.
I actually have two. Okay, so I'd say Grown Ups or The Bench Warmers.
All right, I can tell none of you are basketball players, because nobody said Hoosiers. That's all right, though. And let's see here. We got a couple more questions to ask you, and this is for everybody but Parker. Is Parker going to be the Farmers Fair King?
Yes, sir. I have completely confidence in Parker. He's a hilarious guy, and he does good under pressure. Go, Parker.
Of course he's going to be the king.
All right, anything you're doing special to prepare for Farmer's Fair?
No, I'm not, you know, nothing special to prepare. All it is just a simple interview, and you got to get people to like you, so... Hopefully I'm ending that night with a crown on my head.
Well, I like it. You like Brett Favre, so we're good friends now.
Keep your mustache.
And finally, I kind of want to end on this. Do you guys know what your future plans are going to be? Is there any colleges you're looking at? Are you looking to play college ball if you're going to be graduating? Just give us a hint into what your future plans might be.
Yeah, I mean, college football is definitely an option if, you know, if I get the offers, but something that I want to do is sports operations, sports management, just be around sports. I like sports. It's something I want to be around when I grow up.
Fantastic. Parker?
I'm looking to attend Ball State next fall. You know, they have a nice little 3-3 year program to become a chiropractor, so.
Very nice. I might have to look you up later in life. Back problems already. How about Trayton for you?
I'm going to go right into the workforce. Going to CMPA after I graduate and do plumbing with my dad.
Hey, fantastic. Can't beat that. He's going to be putting some money in the wallet.
Yep.
Dakota?
I was Luckily enough to go up to Marion University this weekend and get to go out on a game day visit. And I want to go into the teaching course. So.
Fantastic. Yep. And Coach, we'll let you have the last word here. Just thanking you for coming out, and I hope you guys enjoyed the experience.
Yeah, we appreciate you guys doing this for us. Thank you for getting some spotlight on some of our guys. We have a really great group of kids. You know, our team has grown over the last year. You know, we've upped our roster probably about 12 players, and, you know, we got a really big eighth grade class, about 21 kids. So, you know, I think our coaches do a really good job of building those relationships with those kids and getting us on out, and Milan's definitely going to be on the rise in the future.
Fantastic. And I know Coach Langferman's a busy man, but tell him he missed out on a bunch of fun here tonight. But we'll catch up with him next Friday, because we are going to be bringing you the Milan Providence game on, what is that, Friday, the 11th, 12th, somewhere yes. In that region. We'll catch up with you all down the road and get you all the details on that. But our thanks to the Milan football program for joining me for Crunch Time tonight here at Buffalo Wings and Rings on Flossie Drive in Greendale. You'll be able to catch this podcast tomorrow on EagleCountryOnline.com. So long and good night.